You're back with Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. When you pull on a pair of wool socks for a hike or walk across a sturdy Navajo rug, it may not occur to you to consider what kind of animal the fiber came from. Well, Colorado authors Deborah Robeson and Carol Acarius have put together an encyclopedia of fleece and fiber, from the common sheep that 4-H'ers show at the county fair to wild possums in New Zealand. We were curious about creatures here in Colorado that grow usable fleece or fur, and author Deborah Robeson joins us from Fort Collins. Deb, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Ryan. I'm glad to be here.
I guess I want to start with whether there's a breed of sheep that's native to this area, sheep being, of course, an iconic animal for textiles.
Yes, there is. And the one that I think of immediately is the Navajo Churro, which came in with Spanish adventurers in the 15th and 16th centuries, the original sheep. It came from the Chura in Spain. And the Navajo Churro settled into this area and did really well here because they don't need a lot of vegetation. They're very light, small animals, very thrifty, which means they don't need lots of grass or medical care or anything like that.
I see.
And they've done really well here, and they fit the environment exquisitely. And that's the one that I think of as emblematic, although they are not what you usually think of as sheep because they are not white and fluffy. They have come in all sorts of colors.
All sorts
they
of colors? Like
fleece.
What?
Yeah. Like gray and brown and black and sort of silvery colors. They do come in white and beige. There's a full spectrum of natural colors.
These Navajo Churro have had somewhat of a rocky history, though, haven't they?
They've had a very rocky history. In roughly the 1970s, they were almost extinct. And what had happened was that a number of well-meaning people had come around and said, oh, these sheep are small and they don't grow much fleece and they don't have much meat on them, so we should make them better. We should improve them. So they brought in outside sheep and they crossbred. And the sheep got bigger and they provided more fleece, but they also needed more food. They got sick faster. They died when there were droughts. And there were a lot of reasons that these, quote-unquote, improved sheep, of which there are still many, did not fit the environment as well.
They were just higher maintenance.
A lot higher maintenance. They required a lot more attention, and they didn't survive as well. There were also two points in history where the government came in and tried to eliminate them completely for several reasons. So the only ones that survived were the ones that were hidden way in the back country.
And how are the original Churros doing?
They're doing well now. There was a man named Lyle McNeil, who is an animal scientist and professor out of Utah, who went back into the canyons and found some of the old sheep and brought them out and started breeding to increase their numbers with the goal of reintroducing them throughout the area, which he did. It took a long time. It took a lot of intercultural cooperation. But there are now established Navajo flocks, both in the Four Corners area and in a few other parts of the country. There are some here in Colorado. There are some very, very nice Navajo Churro flocks here in Colorado. Just exquisite sheep and fiber.
Yeah, and what's the fiber used for?
Traditionally, it was used to make blankets and clothing and rugs, which is where most people may have seen it, is in Navajo rugs. It's been used by Hispanic and Pueblo and Navajo people for really distinct textile traditions. It is very sturdy, but it also has a softness to it. So there are some Navajo Churro fleeces that can be spun to be made into sweaters.
Okay, exotic animals like alpacas and yaks are becoming more popular among breeders here. And I want to talk about one of the more surprising animals that you found living in Colorado. Camels.
Camels, yes. The woman I've been working with on this project is Carol Acarius. And she was driving through Penrose, which is between Pueblo and Canyon City. And she looked over and saw camels. Not only camels, but both dromedaries and Bactrian camels. So we were looking for raw fiber of many types, and she thought, okay, I see a source. And so she went up to the doorway and knocked, and she says that the person who answered the door looked at her like she was from Mars when she asked for fiber. But said okay, and she went out and groomed the animals. She found that both the dromedary and the Bactrian camels were happy to give her some fiber.
And just to be clear, that's the distinction between one-humped and two-humped, right? Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, and they come from different parts of the world.
And is it just like an outlier that camels should be in Colorado? Or are there more than one example of this?
I don't know of any other, well, at the zoo. I don't know if there are other privately held camels.
Well, you and your co-author spell out pretty clearly in this book that you wrote it in part to help ensure the survival of some breeds by making people more aware of them, really. What's an example of a threatened source of fleece?
There are a lot of them. And actually, I'm going to back up one step and say all natural fibers are threatened at this point. Because we don't understand where they come from, we don't value them, we're using synthetics so much that it's getting harder and harder. The global market for natural fibers has been decreasing. But a typical animal that we might be losing track of would be the down breeds of wool in England. There are six of them, four of which are threatened. There are organizations that keep track of this. They keep track of the numbers of animals, which can change very quickly. And with foot and mouth disease, a number of breeds took a slip recently.
And we're talking about varieties of sheep here.
Yes, we are. Yeah. And the varieties are important for a lot of reasons. One of them is that each of them fits an ecological niche. Each of them produces a different kind of wool. And they all have different genetic packages, which is a funny way to talk about it. But they have genetic potential that we may need for reasons we can't even envision that have to do with textiles and have to do with all sorts of other things. Like research including cures for diseases.
Did you expect that angle or that thread, pun intended, would be running through a book about fleece and fiber?
Absolutely, I did.
Yeah.
I've been working with rare breeds of sheep for probably 30 years, so I knew that it was important, and I knew how important.
So before we go, in putting this book together, what's the most unusual fiber you ran across? As if camel wasn't enough, right?
I think it would be either wolf or possum.
Wolf?
Yeah, wolf. I went up to a sanctuary near Fort Collins and met some wolves that were willing to be met. Some are quite shy and some are friendlier. And brushed a couple of wolves and brought their fiber home and spun it for the book.
And what about the possum?
Well, the possum. That's not the possum that we think of here. It is the New Zealand possum, which started out in Australia and then was moved into New Zealand to start a fur industry, but basically took over. So they're using their fiber now for spinning. And it's very, very fine, and it doesn't felt, which is unusual for a fine fiber. It's odd. It's unusual. It's soft, but behaves differently than many of the other fibers.
Okay, I just have to ask, are you wearing any natural fibers right now?
Yes, mostly it's cotton because it's a really hot day. I do not have wool on today. But I'm going to go home and spin some.
Deb, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Ryan. It's been a pleasure.
Deborah Robeson joined us from Fort Collins. She's co-author of the new Fleece and Fiber Sourcebook.